not. Well, see, here's the thing. Here's the thing. In his mind, it was the hat box that made the wagon collapse. It's kind of funny. It's kind of funny how people have a tendency to focus on the last straw. You know, instead of thinking about the things that led up to the problem. Have you heard the phrase, the straw that broke the camel's back, right? You've heard that phrase. And it was that last straw that did it. It had nothing to do with all the other straw that was piled up on his back. Isn't that right? It was just that last straw. So if you don't put that last straw on there, then it's not going to break. Is that the way we think? And it's so easy when people blow things out of proportion. When they something happens, and let's say that you've got a couple, and they've been, you know, tense for a while. They've been kind of tense. Now, Ruby and Danny, stop up your ears. La, 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 la. They've been tense for a while. They've had words. They've had moments. They've had tension. And finally, one of them says something to the other one, and that just does it. And I mean, boom. It's just an explosion of emotion. Was it just that one thing? Is that the only thing that was wrong, or was there something else leading up to that? It's this lesson I call the last straw. A man asked Jesus to make his brother divide his inheritance with him in Luke chapter 12, 13 through 15. You know, make my brother divide the family inheritance with me. He's keeping it on for himself. The problem was Jesus said, I am not a judge over you. He's not a local judge. You would go before the local judge to settle these kind of disputes. He says, who made me a judge over you? The thing is, Jesus was trying to make this man understand there was a problem long before this inheritance between him and his brother. It wasn't the inheritance. That was the last straw. But there was already problems going on between this man and his brother. The demand for justice that this man had was hiding a deeper problem that he and his brother had. And of course, the tendency that we have is to focus on the wrong problem. Instead of focusing on what leads to a big problem, we tend to focus on the wrong problem. We use the current issue or cause and neglect to see the long-range effect. I'll illustrate that with a Bible story. In Luke 12, 16 through 21, the rich man had a great harvest. That was the immediate cause. And then the immediate effect was, I'll tear down my old barns and build bigger barns. But the problem was, he failed to take into account the long-term effect. Now, I know I'm talking kind of, you know, highbrow and all that, but just listen careful and this will all make sense in a minute. The cause of his action was the great harvest. The immediate effect was tear down the old barns and build bigger barns because I've got a bunch of stuff stored for me. And he failed to take into effect the long-term effect, meaning he forgot God. He left God out of his plans. With God, it appears that in that story, that was the last straw because God says this night, your soul is going to be required of you. And then whose shall these things be that you've provided? In Proverbs 24, you have the problem of weeds. Proverbs 24, verses 30 through 34. There's weeds growing all over the place. What's the problem? Well, the problem is not the weeds, it's the owner's laziness. Listen to this proverb. I went by the field of the lazy man and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. And when I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler and your need like an armed man. Cause and effect, and the last straw. What was it? The weeds came on. Why, if it hadn't been for those weeds, well, that man would have been all right, wouldn't he? No. The weeds were simply the last straw. The problem was the man was lazy and wasn't working. I'll give you another one. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, there's a house that is broken down. But that's not the problem. It's the owner's neglect of his house is the problem. Ecclesiastes 10 verse 18, because of laziness, the building decays, and through idleness of hands, the house leaks. If you don't tend to your house, it's going to fail. If you don't tend to your garden, it's going to grow up with weeds. If you don't tend to your family, it's going to fall apart. If you don't tend to your relationship with God, it's going to drift away. All of these things, we're talking about the last straw. And of course, earthly problems tend to crowd out the things that are eternal, the things that are spiritual. The cares of the world are what has our immediate focus. That's what we focus on. That's our attention. So, you know, here's this hat box that broke the wagon. Here's these weeds. Why, that was what this problem was at this man's house. No. Here's this man. He was going to just tear down his old barns and build bigger barns. Well, you know, that seems reasonable. There's something wrong, though. Here's this brother. I want my inheritance with my brother. Well, that seems like a reasonable thing, but there's something wrong in the background. There's so many things that we can look at and be reminded of in this world that we tend to focus on the world more than we focus on God. And this is where the problem comes in. In Luke 12, 22 through 23, Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food. The body is more than clothing." Talk about focusing on what's around us, focusing here instead of having that long term in our mind, down the road in our mind. We recently were reminded of Peter when he lost faith while he was walking on water. He noticed the wind and the waves, and he lost faith. His focus was taken off Jesus. Our own problems and our own sins often are the thing that are interfering with our seeing the truth about ourselves. And so this brings us to our text this evening, Psalm 39, as David faces the last straw. The last straw. Psalm 39, we'll begin with verses 1 and 2. David saw wickedness around him, but he chose not to say anything. He chose to keep his mouth shut. To avoid sin, he says. To avoid sin. But he found out that this only made matters worse. Psalm 39, verse 1 and 2. I said, "I will guard my ways, lest I sin with my tongue. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle while the wicked are before me. I was mute with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred up." It is not an option for us to be hermits, spiritual hermits. That's not an option for us. It's not an option for us to say, okay, we've been blessed with salvation. We've been blessed with the gospel. We're going to be faithful. We're going to go to church. We're going to pray. We're going to study. But we're not going to talk about Jesus because the world's not interested. They don't want to hear. And besides, you know, the government really frowns on Christianity right now. And so we're just going to be quiet. We're going to live it, but we're not going to share it and keep it all to ourselves. That's not an option, folks. We don't have the right to keep our mouth shut. And that's what David is experiencing right here, because it only stirred up his sorrow when he kept his mouth shut. You'll remember, and I'm going to make you look this up. I'm not going to tell you who it is. You'll remember an Old Testament prophet. Some of you are probably thinking about this passage right now. Who said, "I will not speak anymore in his name. But your word was shut up like a fire in my bones, and I could not help but speak." Now you figure out who that was, all right? Oh yeah, shh, Richard, don't tell him now. Don't tell him. All right. So David says, by just being quiet, "Oh yeah, I'm trying to avoid sin." Yeah, if you don't ever talk, you're not going to sin. And if you never take a risk, then you're never going to fail. if you never get married, you don't ever have to worry about divorce. If you never have children, you never have to worry about your children disappointing you. We can just go on and on and on. The thing is, you can't be quiet. We are told to share God's word. We are told to speak up against sin and to stand up for what is right. That's not an option. David found that out. Furthermore, in verses 3 through 6, life is too short to try and hide, to be that spiritual hermit, to try and hide. We tend to spend what little time we have pursuing the wrong things, don't we? That's a human tendency. You look at the people around you. How many folks used to go to church that don't go to church anymore? I'm talking about anywhere. They don't even go to church anymore. They don't read their Bibles. They're not praying to God. They're not even trying to be Christians. But they grew up as Christian people. They grew up believing in God. But now they're living their own life and doing their own thing, and they don't even go to church anywhere. And I'm talking in all kinds of religions, not just in the Lord's church. Well, it's because people focus on the wrong things. We pursue the wrong things. Listen to David's words in Psalm 39, 3 through 6. My heart was hot within me. And this is right after he says, I was mute with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred up. He says, my heart was hot within me. While I was musing, while I was thinking on this, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. Lord, make me to know my end. And what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am? Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadth. We talk about a horse being so many hands tall. All right, I don't know how to measure that. Besides, my hands are not very tall. So it's a kind of a different thing. You got a big hand and a little hand. It can be different. But my life is like the breadth of the hand. That's pretty small. That's not very big. My age is as nothing before you. Certainly every man at his best state is but vapor. Temporary. Temporary. Surely every man walks about like a shadow. Surely they busy themselves in vain. He heaps up riches and does not know who will gather them. Now that is a shadow of the parable of the rich fool, isn't it? Because God says, tonight your soul will be required of you, then who shall these things be? This is a shadow of that parable right here. He heaps up riches and does not know who will gather them. We pursue the wrong things. We're focused on earthly riches instead of focusing on spiritual treasure. Where your heart is, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Folks, I'm telling you, we've got to lay up treasure in heaven. David then, in verses 7 through 10, realized that he's a sinner. He realized that he could not complain about the hard times that fell on him as God was disciplining him and trying to bring him back to an understanding. He could not complain about that because he realized, I have messed up and God is only trying to help me. But it's not pleasant while it's happening. Discipline from God is certainly not pleasant while it's going on. And now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Do not make me the reproach of the foolish. I repent. I'm sorry for what I've done. Please don't make me the reproach of the foolish. The foolish man says, oh, look at here. Here's God's servant. Look what's happening to him. Please don't let this happen to me. He says, I was mute. I did not open my mouth because it was you who did it. Meaning David realizes his punishment, his discipline, the hardships that befell him came from God as a way to try to get David to repent, as a way to try to get David to submit to God. Remove your plague from me. I am consumed by the blow of your hand. I think that is a shadow of, shall we say, corporal punishment. God was punishing David physically for his spiritual sins, for his failures, for his focus upon the world instead of his focus upon the things that are eternal. the things that are spiritual. And so, you know, the last straw for David was, you know, I realize now God is the one who's doing this to me, and God is the one who's in charge, and I need to open my mouth and speak. I need to share God's word. I need to oppose the wrong and stand up for the right. And then God showed him what was important. Look at verse 11. When with rebuke you correct man for iniquity, you make his beauty melt away like a moth. Now, I'm going to hang on that word right there just for a minute. His beauty. His beauty. The word beauty there can stand for anything. Any value that man places in this life. Nice house. Good job. Has a nice car. He's a good-looking fella. You know, he's got good muscles and good health, and he's got a lot of good friends, and he's respected in the community, and people look to him, and he's got lots of money and a great education, and he gets to take fantastic vacations, and he's got a great retirement plan, and you name it. Anything you want to name can be substituted for the word beauty right here. It melts away. It's not going to last. It's not going to last. You ask these folks that have reached the age of 75 or older, how long does physical health last? And they'll tell you it doesn't last very long. Because most all of the folks that are 75 or older can remember even back when they were in school. And that was a long time ago, but they can still remember that. And it seems like it was just yesterday. By the way, let me be the first to wish you Merry Christmas 2017, because it'll be here before you can turn around. It was just Christmas, wasn't it? Time goes by so fast, so fast. And so you substitute any word you want to for beauty right here. You make his beauty melt away like a moth. How long is a moth's lifespan? Some of them last just one night. Some moths live 24 hours. That's it. And their life is over. That's incredible. You make his beauty melt away. You make his retirement plan melt away. You make his health melt away. You make his house melt away. You make his car melt away. You make his job melt away. You make his stability and material security melt away. You put anything you want to right there. You make his beauty melt away like a moth. Surely every man is vapor. Life is short. It's too short for us to hide. It's too short for us to be quiet. It's too short for us to try to fight against God. It's too short for us to resist God's commandments. God means what He says. And we must do what God says. We must be submissive to God. We don't have the right to stand there and cross arms and be stubborn. We don't have time to stand there and cross our arms and be stubborn with God. We must humble ourselves before Him, knowing He has absolute control over our life, over our years, and over our future. God has control. David learned his lesson. We close with verses 12 and 13. He learned his lesson. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Those words ring from the heart of a man who's penitent. From a man who is humbling himself before God. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Here's a man whose heart is broken. Here's a man who is pleading to God for forgiveness. Do not be silent at my tears, for I am a stranger with you, a sojourner. As all my fathers were. David has reference to this life. He's referring to this life. We're only here for a little time. Remove your gaze from me that I may regain strength. This morning I was talking about mama giving you that look. That's sort of what David is talking about. Remove your gaze from me. This gaze of disapproval. This gaze of disappointment. This gaze of discipline. And maybe even punishment. Remove your gaze from me that I may regain strength before I go away and am no more. Oh God, please don't destroy me. That's what David is saying. Remove the burden. Remove the punishment. Remove the discipline. I have learned my lesson. Life is not about the last straw. Life is about the load itself. Life is about the things that we pile on. It's not about the thing that breaks us. It's about what got us there to that point. If we wait until the last straw comes, then we've waited too long. Or we potentially have waited too long. There are times when a person can wait till the very last second and still be able to make their life right. The thief on the cross is a classic example of that. But how many folks really get that kind of an opportunity? A car wreck, an aneurysm, an act of violence, crime, just a simple heart attack or a stroke can end our lives in a moment, in a second. How many get that kind of an opportunity to wait until the last second to make it right? No, it's not about the hat box. It's not about the last straw. It's about how you've lived up to that point, up to that moment. And if you clean house, now I'm gonna get off track just a second. If you will communicate with your loved ones, you don't have to worry about the explosion. You can clear up the rubble. You can clear out the debris. You can clear out the garbage by communicating, by actually talking about things that are important to you instead of waiting until an explosion takes place. In the counseling that I've done with people through the years, I've tried to help them understand explosions never do anything constructive. They only destroy. And if all you're doing, if you wait until there's an explosion in your relationship, an explosion of emotion, damage is being done. So it's best to clear it out, clean it up while you're living it, instead of waiting until you put the hat box on the wagon, instead of waiting until it's too late, until the explosion takes place. Well, when it comes to our life before the Lord, we have the best of intentions. We intend to get right. We intend to go to church. We intend to read our Bible. We intend to pray. We intend to talk to this person. We intend to do this good thing that we've intended to do for who knows how long. And we just seem not to get around to it. Yeah, that's coming, Richard. But folks, if you wait till they throw that hat box on the wagon, you've waited too long. It's broke. Let's live our lives in faithful service to God today and every day. Let's clean house, clean up, unload, remove the debris before the last straw. If you're not a Christian, you need to obey the gospel. You need to become a child of God. If you're already one of His people, but you've not been faithful to Him, you need to rededicate your life to God before it's too late. If there is a way we can help you tonight, we want to encourage you. Give your life to the Lord. Become a child of God or rededicate your life to God, whatever you need. And if we can help you with that, please come now if you need to as we stand and sing.